Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Bunions, corns, ingrown toenails, foot health, not the top of many people's agendas, but it is something that we are all likely to encounter at some point in our lives. So, to discuss this more, I'm joined on the line by Clare-based GP Dr. Maura Finn. Good morning, Maura. How are you?
Good morning, Philip. You make it sound really exciting somehow.
Do I? I'm trying to get over my own ick or revulsion factor. The problem here, though, is that when we're talking about foot problems, we're talking about not just something that affects your feet, but that before too long, because of the way you're standing or walking or carrying yourself, can end up affecting your knee, your hip, your back.
Oh, absolutely. And look, mobility is essential for all of us. And even though, you know, our feet, like you say, the ick factor, but if we don't look after them and if we kind of disregard some of the minor ailments that might be starting early on, we will have serious problems with our mobility, our therefore kind of maybe weight, maybe inclusion, maybe not being involved in exercise. So it's really important. And I think people know it, but they're sometimes afraid or embarrassed to talk about their feet. So that's hopefully what we'll do today and kind of help a few people out.
OK, well, let's get into one of the more common ones, bunions. Are they caused by poorly fitting shoes or is this something hereditary?
It's a bit of both, actually, but poorly fitting shoes definitely have an effect on it. So what a bunion is kind of at the bottom of your foot, you know, there's the joint just before your big toe, and that joint pushes outwards, and then the joint, the start of your big toe, pushes inwards. So your toe pushes in and hits the other toes. So you have this kind of like V-shaped extrusion of that joint at the bottom of your foot, and it can cause extremely bad pain. It causes problems because the big toe hits against the other toes, so it causes corns and calluses in those areas, but it's in itself it causes extreme pain. Now, as it's developing, it's very painful, but actually often people will have bunions that have developed and look quite deranged and really kind of they look really bad, but actually they don't have an awful lot of pain with them and they've come to terms with them. But what you should try and do is if you're seeing the development of one, try and adjust your shoe wear, maybe use some of these kind of supports that actually help straighten out your toe joint a little bit to avoid it developing something that might need surgery later on, because that's a really miserable thing to have done.
I was going to say, I mean, foot binding has been out of fashion since 19th century China. Is surgery really the only way to deal with the more severe cases?
Well, the severe ones, yes, but then a lot of people opt not to, because what you do with surgery is you actually essentially break those joints and realign them. Now, it does work for a lot of people, and you know, if they're in severe pain and if they're really deformed and therefore kind of their mobility is severely affected, surgery is a good option. But to try and catch it before that, and you know, there's things you can buy in the pharmacist that would be very good at giving you advice about how to kind of push out that toe joint a little bit, separate it. Going to a podiatrist or chiropodist would give you really good advice around that too. And just looking at your footwear, I have a bunion and I know well it's from the high heels that only my daughters can wear now because of it, you know. So it is from, you know, so try and adjust your footwear early on if you can.
Heel spurs then, are ill-fitting shoes a cause there?
Partly, you know, it does come down. Ill-fitting shoes are a major part of an awful lot of foot problems, but heel spurs are different. So you've got this kind of layer of sinew or connective tissue that's what holds your arch together, and that is connected to your heel, and that can calcify at the connection, and that's what a heel spur is. Now, heel spurs themselves don't always cause pain, and we can we often kind of X-ray or look for them. And you may find, incidentally, people have heel spurs and they don't necessarily have pain with it. But a heel spur can often be associated with a thing called plantar fasciitis, which is that connective tissue layer being really inflamed and angry. And classically what happens with that is you step out of bed in the morning, and as you flatten your foot when you step out of bed, it really causes pain. As you move, it kind of improves a little bit, but it can be very debilitating. You can't exercise well with it. It's very common in menopausal women, actually. It does tend to settle most often in time, but some people need to have quite a lot of treatment for it, be it physio.
Well, this actually leads me on to
steroid injections.
this leads on to a question that has come in from somebody who has been through all of those treatments. They say, I've tried physio, shock therapy, massage, painkillers, steroids, both oral and injections. Steroid injections are the only relief I get, but they do wear off. Have you any advice? I'm losing hope.
Yeah, it can be really horrible. They are the kind of treatments, like home therapies would be, you know, putting a bottle of water into the freezer and letting it freeze and then rolling your foot on it. So that's an easy way of icing your foot. But this person has obviously gone beyond that and has tried all these other injections and everything already. There are sometimes things like platelet-rich plasma sometimes will be used, which is a way of kind of trying to stimulate the growth and reducing inflammation. And what it essentially is that the arch of that foot is just really inflamed, and that's why the steroids run out and she actually is in pain again. And now I'm assuming it's a she because it is more common in women, but it may not be. I would suggest maybe seeing a specialist at this stage. Okay. To maybe go to the next level.
All right, this is exactly the kind of text I knew we were going to get and I feared we were going to get. John wants to know, what can I do to cure severe nail fungus in my feet?
Well, it's so common, it really is, and it's a really good question for that reason. And it can be any area of your foot. So it's a fungus. We think we all know that they kind of thrive in moist, warm areas. So, you know, just think of your classic foot after a day's work or exercise or whatever. So the first thing is to try and avoid getting it in the first place. And that's one of the things that you should, you know, when you come home from exercise, gym, playing a game, whatever it is, take off your shoes and socks, let your feet air. You'll see a lot of the young lads now when they're playing sports, they'll actually wear slides to take off their runners or their football boots, you know, and that's really good. It lets the air at their feet. And, you know, trying the hygiene is a really important part of that. Once you do get some fungal infections, particularly in between the toes, you know, that kind of boggy thing and the skin breaks down a little bit, there are treatments you can use, like creams or powders that are antifungals that you can buy over the counter. And they're very good. Occasionally, people need to use prescription treatments. And then even more occasionally, they may need to use oral treatments for antifungals, particularly if it's spreading and causing infection. The fungal nail then is a slightly different thing, which is where the nail gets discoloured and roughened and really thickened. And you'll frequently see that. It's a very, very difficult thing to treat. And because a toenail takes about 18 months to grow for a new one, it takes so long to treat it that people get really frustrated by it. But down to the most important thing is the hygiene and letting your feet air as much as you possibly can.
There's about three texts in a row here, Maura, asking what is the right way to cut your toenails?
Now, that's a great question, because that's what people do all the time. That's how ingrown toenails essentially are caused, by people cutting their toenails wrong. And, you know, we all get to the point of trying to shape our fingernails, you know, and the kind of the pretty shape or whatever, or just keeping them clean. But for toenails, it's slightly different. You cut them straight across so that you don't curve them down at the edges. And what you want is to have the edges of the toe, the corners of the toe, lie loosely against the skin, not cut down into the skin in the corners. So they're either straight across or even slightly longer at the edges. So it's the opposite to what you do with your fingernails, really. And if you can't do them well, it's really important that you ask somebody else to do it for you. Because, you know, we frequently, people are kind of, you know, especially as they get older, they might be using the clippers and might, you know, it might slip or something like that, especially if you have a fungal nail and your nail is really thickened. So going to a chiropodist is a really good idea. But if you cut your toenails in that way, you're cutting them down into the corners, the nail will dig into the skin, grow into the skin and cause an infection. And it can be a really horrible infection that takes an awful lot of time to improve and may need recurring antibiotics and may even need surgery to take off the toenail in the end.
And when you notice the start of an ingrowing toenail, is step number one to cut the little V notch in the middle of the nail?
Well, there is a problem with that, in that if people do that and cut too deep in that too, you might actually cause an infection. So it's not going to make a massive difference. What you're trying to do is avoid any infection there. And I would kind of use tea tree oil and soak my feet and just make sure that you actually don't develop an infection in that area. That's probably the best thing to do.
And if you and do develop an,
grow
if you
out
do,
naturally.
If you do develop an inflammation, Epsom salts, which sounds like a kind of a medieval treatment, but it still works to remove the pus.
Oh, it does indeed. Like, I mean, it's a lot of these old treatments, just logic to them. And soaking your feet in anything, Epsom salts, Dettol, anything like that, will improve. Because what you're trying to do in all of these situations, including with blisters and things, you're trying to avoid an infection. Because if you get an infection in your feet, particularly, and this is something I kind of really wanted to say, actually, is, you know, particularly people with diabetes or poor circulation, you know, it won't heal. Because you can imagine your feet are your very last area, they're at the periphery, and the circulation isn't as good there as it would be to other areas. So you really want to avoid an infection. So that's a major thing. It's not have poor fitting shoes and hygiene. Actually, I saw a piece of advice that you should buy shoes at the end of the day. I never heard this before, but it's really clever because
when
your feet swell as the day goes on.
Yeah.
Now
here's
so a good
one,
idea.
here's one that has mystified me. Have you any advice, please, Maura, on how to manage the start of a hammer toe? What's a hammer toe?
Well, a hammer toe is kind of another deformity of a toe where the toe, one of the toes bends incorrectly. So it's actually kind of bent upwards, if you know what I mean. So instead of being flat on the ground, one of them, the joints in the toe, usually the second or third toe, is bent up. And if it's beginning, if it's only the start of it and you can still straighten it out, that's good. And anything that will help that is a good idea. Even kind of binding it with another toe if necessary, or go to a podiatrist and get some advice about that. It can be. Now, it's really important that sometimes, you know, people will be kind of trying to manage these things at home, and it could be the beginning of something like an arthritis that needs more treatment. So, you know, if it's the beginning and you haven't too much discomfort and you think you can manage it yourself, that's fine. But if it's actually getting too bad, you will sometimes need surgical intervention and something like that.
Now, let us put your diagnostic skills to the test here, Maura. Not an awful lot of information to go on from Mary. What is the best treatment for sore and burning sensations in the balls of the feet?
Well, the best treatment, I suppose the best treatment would always depend on what the problem is. And sore or burning can often be what we call peripheral neuropathy. And peripheral neuropathy is when you have nerve damage in the peripheries, your feet, your hands. And it can be related to diabetes, it can be related to a B12 deficiency, and it's something that should be investigated. However, if it's the ball of her feet, it may just be a skin. Like if she was to look at the skin directly, maybe the skin is just a little bit damaged from pressure as well. An awful lot of feet problems are pressure friction related. So looking at the skin, is it a skin problem? Look at the ball of the foot. Is there a callus? Is there a corn? Is there a verruca there? And if it isn't anything like that, then it may need to look at, is it a nerve problem? And the other thing is, obviously, we really, as doctors, we're always very concerned with older people about their circulation to their feet. Because if your circulation is poor, if you have bad varicose veins or issues around arterial insufficiency in your feet, you will develop ulcers, and it can often lead to kind of really awful problems where you'd actually have to have a toe amputated. That's Mary's not in that bracket, I'm sure, but just it's really important to not ignore things.
We were doing so well on getting through this item without making me feel squeamish, but you've just managed to do
that. Oh, sorry.
So that's enough of that now, I think. Dr. Maura Finn, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Coming up after the break, the latest from the UK as police prepare for more possible riots across England.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.